me calling on her phone. I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind. Cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. Alright. All right, here we are. This is CITR Radio, and time for another 1.5 hours of the best radio I think I can come up with from what I know, my musical background of growing up in Australia, and what I discover here in this wonderful city of Vancouver and beyond. Many other cities, and occasionally I play music from far-flung places like Winnipeg, as I did last week. I saw there's a compilation, I think, of music from Kingston, Ontario or something that came in. I'll have a look at that for another week. But for today, we have something extra special that's, well, the big chunk of this show is not going to be music related at all. It's going to be arts related, visual arts related. I recorded a piece this past week for the Arts Report. Thanks to Megan and Sarah, who host that show, they allowed me to do a half-hour special on somebody who's actually quite close to me, a relative of mine named Isatt Hall, and she is a very well-established Canadian visual artist, but in the latter part of her career now, she lives alone at the far north tip of Vancouver Island and continues to paint, and I took some time earlier this year to track her down and record her story, which I find quite interesting. And I recorded the piece, which was aired this last Wednesday on the Arts Report, and I'm going to replay that for you today as well on the show. So this is Stranded, the Australian Canadian music show, but never fear, there is still plenty of music, and I'm going to start out with a gentleman named Ben Lee, who is likely quite known to a lot of listeners if you've been into the indie music or alternative music world since the early mid-90s. Ben Lee was a very lucky guy. He formed a band called Noise Addict when he was only a teenager in Sydney, and he put out a couple of releases and was very quickly picked up by Steve Pavlovic's independent label Fellaheen Records, which enabled Ben to be introduced to Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth and Mike D of the Beastie Boys. And before he knew it, he was playing solo shows with these guys, getting to know Steve, Thurston Moore, Mike D. I think he moved to New York. Eventually, he married Claire Danes, the actor. So this young Australian guy got a pretty big leg up pretty quickly in life. And he's made some good records, and he's a smart guy, very much an individualist, and his latest album actually is dedicated to his mind-altering explorations with ayahuasca. So I'm going to play for you a bit later on a little piece I found on his website that explains what this new concept album is all about, but let's go back in time to this Noise Addict period of his career. His very first band when he was still in high school, and I found this actually at Zulu Records the other night at the Katsalono Festival when they had all their CDs, discount CDs out on the street there, and I picked this one up along with a few other ones. So yeah, let's get into it. This is Ben Lee with Noise Addict, going right back to 1995 when he was still in high school. Shows his talent pretty early on, like he is a... You know, he's got a head on his shoulders. And this is some fun indie pop music. So here we go. I'm going to start out with the track called 16, which I guess was how old he was when he put out this album. And we'll play a couple of tracks from this. The release is called Meet the Real You. And then we'll go forward in time and play a few tracks from a Ben Lee solo release called Breathing Tornadoes. So this is Stranded, the Australian Canadian music show. Here's Noise Addict from 1995.
Is your band going on tour? At Practicar, Rent-A-Rec, we offer budget-minded individuals the opportunity to think economy with reliability, thrifty pricing, and value for your dollar. All you need is to be 19 or older and have a valid driver's license. To get your band and gear on the road today, go to azureautogallery.ca or call 604-232-9873. That's 604-232-9873.
Welcome back to CITR Radio, Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, and a couple of tracks there from Noise Addict. The first band from Ben Lee, singer-songwriter, who came from Bondi Beach. Quite a privileged upbringing. It's funny, actually, in this the liner notes for this CD, the band were more than happy to sort of take a little stab at themselves. They cut out all of the negative press that they got in the street press and actually stuck it as little bits inside the liner notes. Little snippets here like, Noise Addict remind me of everything that I find repulsive in the Sydney music scene. If these prepubescent rich kids from Bondi have any talent whatsoever, it is but a developing talent and should be left well enough alone. So these boys at least have something significant and worthwhile to say. So anyway, yeah, Ben was okay with that. He's got thick skin and stuck that in the liner notes. And actually on the back here... it's interesting because I'm just going to play for you shortly some of the latest stuff that Ben Lee's doing now with his concept album about ayahuasca, and which is he talks at great depth online about his spiritual journey and the importance of the inner world. And even way back here in 1995, there's evidence of that because on the back of the CD sleeve, he's put a little Kafka quote that says, "You do not need to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Do not even listen, simply wait. Do not even wait, be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice, it will fall in ecstasy at your feet." That's a little Franz Kafka quote that Ben Lee added to the liner notes of his Noise Addict CD in 1995. So let's go forward in time to an album called Breathing Tornadoes from 1999. And I'm going to play for you a couple of the singles. First up, a song called Nothing Much Happens. And then track number 4, which is Tornadoes. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, playing some music by Ben Lee. And then we'll, after that, I'll play you the promo for his new album, Ayahuasca, Welcome to the Work, where Ben explains why he chose to record a concept album related to this, I suppose, slightly controversial medicinal healing herb, and there's a few of those out there. So let's get into it. This is Ben Lee, the song called Nothing Much Happens.
Surprise you when it hands.
All right, that was Ben Lee with the track called A Lot Goes On, Nothing Happens from Breathing Tornadoes. Thanks to Matt Keane, who just popped up on Facebook. You probably remember this record, Matt Keane, old friend from Canberra, 1999. I think that might have been almost when we were living together in a share house. That's a little message to a friend back home listening. This is Stranded, and actually, what the heck, let's play one more track. Let's play track four now. This is called Tornadoes, and then we'll get into the more recent Ben Lee stuff, and he'll talk about his journeys with ayahuasca. Let's play one more. This is Tornadoes.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
All right, thanks for tuning in. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, and another track there from the Ben Lee record Breathing Tornadoes from 1999. And just as a bit of a segue, I was just on the bus down here looking in some liner notes of a Woody Guthrie CD compilation that I have, and just in relation to tornadoes, like, you know, Woody Guthrie spent a lot of time in the Dust Bowl region of the U.S., and I guess, you know, really bad tornadoes wreaked havoc on the farmland, and he wrote a lot about that. And here's just a little one of his quotes in here in the liner notes, I guess from some journal. This is in Woody's words: "It got to where I could look up at the dust hanging up in the sky and tell you just what state it was blowing in from. It got so dark at times that you couldn't see a meal on your table nor find a dollar in your pocket. Even the old settlers thought it was the end of the world because the men had insulted the soil of the earth and the winds of the sky with their low-down, hateful, mean and stealing ways." Those are the words of Woody Guthrie talking about the tornadoes that would blow in the Dust Bowl regions, the Great Plains, way back in the 30s, I guess. That's what he wrote a lot of his songs about. So I just got thinking about that because of this this album, Ben Lee Breathing Tornadoes. So this is Stranded. Thanks again, Matt Keane. I got your request here online, and I'll get to that in the next little while. But I've still got to play a little bit of Ben Lee and talk about his latest album, which is about ayahuasca, which is the medicinal healing plant that a lot of people are talking about. And Ben Lee's actually spent a little bit of time exploring it himself, and he's written a whole concept album all about it. So his words are probably better than mine explaining what that is. So I'll play for you his album trailer. The album's called Ayahuasca, Welcome to the Work, and then I'll play you a track from that new album.
I talk about doing the work. When I say to the listener, welcome to the work, I'm saying welcome to the work of coming to know ourselves. You know, if you look back at the Middle Ages, one of the things people have heard a lot about is alchemy. And what a lot of people have assumed was it was literally about taking lead and turning it into gold. That may or may not be true, but there's a very deeply symbolic interpretation of that, which was the taking of our own inner lead and turning it into inner gold.
I'm willing to go in. I'm willing to go in.
So the idea is that by becoming aware of our darkness, by becoming aware of our flaws, by becoming aware of our hypocrisies, and by simply admitting them to ourselves, we allow them to be transformed into powerful and dynamic and light parts of ourselves. So the inner work is alchemy. It's the work of transformation. For me, it was always an instinctive choice to kind of come out of the closet and put the word ayahuasca in the album title. Ayahuasca is a plant medicine from South America, from the Amazon and the surrounding regions, and it's been used historically as a healing medicine by shamans within a ceremonial context.
If I open my heart wider than the ocean, will I be part, could I be part of mystery in motion? Like all of the stars, they shine with such devotion. If I could let this go, I wanna let this go.
I, like a lot of people, struggled with the idea that this was a medicine at all, because I have a lot of my own prejudices about spirituality and drug use. I think I brought a lot of questions about, is it possible that this thing could be good for me? But in my experience, the ingesting of this plant brought a great healing into my heart and into my mind. It allowed me to experience a form of compassion and tenderness with myself that I don't think I'd ever had before, which is really the first step towards improving ourselves.
Show me your heart.
It's the moment to begin.
Show me your heart. Show me your heart.
Let's let each other.
It's something I've been exploring over the last few years and really wanted to make an album that attempted to capture just a tiny part of sort of the magnitude of the ayahuasca experience. This isn't really about ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is the mode and it's the symbol with which we're having a larger conversation. And that question is, what role do non-ordinary states of consciousness play in the health of the individual and the health of our society? The fact is, we don't live in a world that supports inner inquiry. We live in a world that supports outward grabbing. So inner work in any spiritual path, whether it's ayahuasca or meditation or yoga or chanting, it really does go against the grain of the world that we're currently living in. But for that reason, it's all the more needed and all the more powerful. The genesis of this album was a discussion between me and my good friend, Jessica Chapnik-Khan. She performs under the name Apollonia.
Can I talk? I love working with Ben. He's very punk, and I like that. There's no preconceived sort of ideas about how things should be done. It's all very do-it-yourself and free. It very much resonates with me, that kind of playful punk way that he has. That's been something that's captivated people, is that he's quite personal and intimate in a public way, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. But I think what you see is what you get.
To anyone that's followed my career, they know that if nothing else, I've just been like very honest about what I'm enthused about at various points of my life, and that all my albums essentially are love songs and reflect kind of the joy of discovery. A lot of what I wanted to do with this record was make a record that was sort of demanding, that took the listener on a journey, kind of against the listener's will in a way. As ayahuasca is becoming more widely known and publicized, I think there is a danger of people ordering it off the internet or wanting to take it themselves. The plant medicine is incredibly powerful in its own right as a chemical compound, as an organic substance. But equally so, the expertise of those that have been trained and it's come through their lineage and have worked out how to map the experience and how to support explorers of the psyche is a vital part of the experience. Just as if you were looking for a therapist, you would not take the decision lightly. You want to find something, you know, a system that you resonate with a lot of integrity and a lot of expertise. I'd say the same of an ayahuasca experience. Making this record has been sort of a purifying process where I've been on my own journey, where I've had to let go of a lot of my own assumptions of what makes a Ben Lee record and what am I allowed to do and not allowed to do. I've always been a big believer that each album I put out is almost like a magnet. You know, I make an album with an intention to it and an energy and an imagination to it. And then it draws to it a whole set of experiences and people that form the next chapter of my life.
Oh, thank you for remembering.
So I'm really interested to see where this record takes me.
Oh,
again, the lessons of the medicine continue with the album, which is, it's okay not to know.
Oh, thank you for remembering. Oh, and the wave and the stone, the machine and the dream and the fullness and the form, the question in the dark and the shadow that we hide, the diamonds and the demons and the trouble and desire, a spark in the space between us, the touch of open my heart, open my heart.
me your heart, show me your heart, endlessly creating. Show me your heart, show me your heart, here's the world we're making. Show me your heart, show me your heart, love is right here waiting. Show me your heart, show me your heart.
Shindig 2013 is now accepting submissions to celebrate the 30 years of our Battle of the Bands. We are relaxing some of the rules this year. Any band can enter Shindig, even if you've played it before. All you need to do is send a minimum 3-song demo of your original material, a short biography of your band, and your contact information. All submissions must be sent in by August 12th. For more information, go to www.citr.ca.
Okay, this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. Thanks for tuning in. One last track there from Ben Lee. So that's what he's up to these days. That track was called In the Silence, and it's from his new album Ayahuasca, Welcome to the Work. So Ben's got a lot to say about the inner journey, and that's a wonderful thing. And I wonder if he'll make it over to these parts, because Ayahuasca is known to a lot of people in the Vancouver community who work in the area of drug and alcohol rehabilitation. Gabor Mate has been an outspoken proponent of that as a healing method. And I wonder if, you know, it'd be interesting for him to meet Ben Lee if he ever came over here to tour and play this album. I'll keep you posted if that happens. So I want to play for you now a song for my friend Matt Keane, who just sent through this request on the internet. Actually, Matt, I could not find the CD is not here in the station, which I'm not surprised. The UMI record, hourly sound as ever from 1993, but I found a live version of this track online, and I actually like this version better than the album version. It's a bit quicker, and it's a rocking track. So this song goes out to Matt Keane in Canberra. I believe he's in the gym right now. This will get your blood pumping and the muscles working. This is Sound as Ever, the last track from the album Sound as Ever, the same name, from UMI, 1993. This is a live version.
It's a real, real big pleasure for us to be playing for you all. Thanks very much for coming this evening. Thank you. This morning I just didn't think this show was going to happen, you know? Right. Fucking Bundaberg rum.
And froggy.
One, two, three, four. To the sky.
It's all sad. come down to the Powell Street Festival this year, celebrating artistic champions. Experience traditional and contemporary Japanese-Canadian performances, including taiko drumming, sumo wrestling, martial arts, visual arts, traditional ceremonies, and so much more. Happening August 3rd and 4th at Oppenheimer Park and surrounding venues, and running from 11:30 to 7 p.m. Daytime admission is free.
Welcome back. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. Those three tracks are very varied in genre. First up, we had Sound As Ever, a live version of that track from the UMI record that came out in 1993 of the same name. And that was a request for Matt Keane, who was tuning in from Canberra in Australia. He was listening online. And after that was a track by a Canadian punk band called the Doughboys. Did you pick what cover that was? It was a Buzzcocks song, and the song was Why She's a Girl from the Chain Store. And I just found this kind of randomly. This is a compilation that came out in 1992 on CZ Records. The Buzzcock Covers compilation, Something's Gone Wrong Again. So it was a band called the Doughboys. Other bands on there were mostly American bands like The Fluid, Lunar Chicks, The Accused, Alice Donut. That was a great cover there by the Doughboys. And after that was a band called the Jessica Stewart Few. They're from Toronto. They're a folk jazz power trio on tour across Canada, and they're playing in Vancouver on August 1st at 9 p.m. at the Railway Club. So if you like what you heard there, the Jessica Stewart Few, the track you heard was Dotya. So we have coming up in the last half hour of the show something very special, a feature that I recorded about a Canadian visual artist named Isaac Hall. So this is not music related at all, but it's I highly recommend you tune into the last half hour of the show. So that'll be coming up very soon. But first, I just wanted to play one song from a group that's playing at the Mission Folk Festival this weekend. I was hoping to get to some more acts, but I've just run out of time today. So I want to play for you a track by the Iskew Singers. They are a three-piece vocal group of First Nations origin, and they perform some wonderful music based on the Plains tradition. So I'm going to play for you a track of theirs right now, and then we'll get into my feature on Canadian visual artist Isaac Hall. This is a group called the Iskew Singers.
Ajimu negamunan, negamunan. Ajimu negamunan, ajimu negamunan. Ne negamunan, ne negamunan. Ajimu. Negamona, negamona.
Kaya sohse, on tawai sinok, kihanawe samagoma, nehyawon, 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 ektose, kautna mahoma, atsimona, ewa, negamona, egwanma, egimigosia, egoma, waskamtek, waskamtek, kake. Kamiunagwan.
Ajimu negamonan. Ajimu negamonan. Ne negamonan. Ne negamonan. Ajimu negamonan. Negamonan.
So that was a group there called the Iskew Singers, I-S-K-W-E-W EW, and they're playing at the Mission Folk Festival this weekend. It's on July 25th to 28th at Fraser River Heritage Park, just outside of Vancouver Mission, and lots of other great acts playing there, including David Franci, who's my favourite singer-songwriter from this country, and all sorts of great folks. Also, the Piccola Banda Icona band from Italy, who played the Vancouver Folk Music Festival, and two of the guys from the band just stayed in my house for the last two nights, which was fantastic. Wonderful musicians from Italy. So Mario and Leo, thanks for your cooking too. All right, let's get into now the final half hour of this show, which is a feature that was recorded for Arts Extra, which is a show that is broadcast here on CITR on Wednesdays as part of the Arts Report. So this is a feature about Isaac Hall, who is quite close to me. As far as my family goes, I came to Canada to trace family roots, and along the way I discovered Isaac Hall. She is a wonderful artist, and you can find her work online at EISERT-HALL. And I wanted to play for you today the feature that I recorded for the Arts Extra program that we broadcast this past Wednesday. So I wanted to take the opportunity to play it again on this slot. So it's something a little bit different. If you're used to music, this is going to be quite different. And Isaac has been making art since the 70s. And has got a lot to say and about the philosophical underpinnings of her work. And she continues to work where she lives in Sointula in British Columbia. And it meant a lot to me to be able to record this. So thanks again to Megan and Sarah for broadcasting this on Wednesday. And here we go. Here it is.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
That was the voice of award-winning Canadian visual artist, Isaac Hall. This is CITR Red.
Oops.
I knew that I had the concept. I wanted to work on something that had to do with free will and the limits to the freedom of our will. You see half images and half lights. For example, you could look inside of the boxes and you could see this yourself in cracked mirrors. That this can flow into my system, my body, and if it can go beyond me and help others, then I would say absolutely.
That was the voice of award-winning Canadian visual artist, Isaac Hall. This is CITR Radio, and a special for the Arts Report program. For the next half hour, you'll be hearing Isaac talk about her life story, and the inspirations and philosophical underpinnings of her art. If you are listening live on CITR Radio, you can follow for a visual reference at facebook.com/artsreport. And you can also see some pictures at the official Isaac Hall website, that's EISERT-HALL.com. So we are here on CITR Radio, and I'm very pleased to be sitting with award-winning Canadian visual artist, Isaac Hall. Isaac, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Matt.
I've made the trip all the way here to your home in Sointula, which is a small community on the very far north of Vancouver Island, BC, Canada. A wonderful place, because I really wanted to see where you're continuing your work day to day as an artist. Isaac, you started out your career in the arts, at least your education, doing fine arts degree in Alberta?
In Alberta, yes. Yes, I did the fine arts degree in University of Alberta. And from there, I went to the Ontario College of Art and picked up a couple years. And then returned to Alberta. I was married at the time, and so Ronald got a job in Lethbridge, and so there I could not go to university again. I had to have one more swipe at it.
Yeah.
I tend to love those places of learning. They're very dear to me. And wherever I was, I did art. There's no doubt about it. My neighbors in Lethbridge, absolutely, well, you know, you do art, and that's what you're happiest at. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And with awards along the way, too, and also some joints overseas.
In reference to my art, I went to Rome and Florence in 1984, and over there, I, of course, went into as many cathedrals as I possibly could, and the Uffizi Gallery in Florence, where I had gone over there specifically to study medieval art, one aspect of medieval art, and that's where I encountered triptych-type art form. And according to the perceptions and my experience in Europe, I came back to Lethbridge, Alberta, to do another unusual thing besides what I had done in the late 70s, called environments within and without communication centers. And that's 1977-78. For the first time in my art making, I really needed to move right into real space of the gallery. And of course, I was somewhat appraised of the fact that installation work was being done. I'd lived in New York 69-70. I can remember walking into a Donald Judd exhibition in uptown New York with my little girl with me. So all of these red and yellow boxes, believe it or not, Judd, well, he did boxes. Either they were climbing up walls, and he was a minimalist, as I understand. Those kind of rarefied, no-touch, very slick, not one sense of any human. I remember my little daughter began to walk close to one, and he said, oh, no, the guard, no. You know. So when I got back to Lethbridge, I put some legs on the boxes. I put unseen legs. Well, I made boxes for one thing, and that was the inspiration that I received in New York, as well as Rauschenberg and a number of others, even Frank Stella, the whole bunch. With some trepidation, in a way, into making an art form to begin with, that I had never seen anything like that I had imagined in my mind in Lethbridge, southern Alberta. I dared to try something that was out of whack. So that's where that one found legs on Donald Judd's kind of slick boxes. I knew that I had the concept. I wanted to work on something that had to do with free will and the limits to the freedom of our will. And so that brought me face to face with culture. Mm-hmm. It brought me face to face with the community I lived in. It brought me face to face with my country called Canada. And beyond that is the international scene. And I knew that there were installations out there, that kind of thing, so I certainly was not the first at that. There was Judy Chicago in the United States. There was Joyce Whelan working in Canada doing certain stuff with her controversial and social political work. And I've always been a social political person, but not in my art. Those were the first forays that I took into the social political realm in very conservative southern Alberta.
So would you say that you are a conceptual artist?
Heavens no. Oh gosh no. Conceptual artist, how could I own that? I would say that I'm not a pure conceptual artist. I see in my work a certain amount of modernist trends, and yet my thinking is not modernist. I am not a purist, and I would certainly have nothing to do with Greenberg. I've got to have some legs and arms and feet and a head, and I've got to have some sense of everything that goes what it is to be human, I guess. And I think it was worse in the 70s, coming out of that. Maybe it was more modernist, that we're thinkers, we solve things with thinkers, if I'm not too sure. There might have been René Descartes in there somewhere, and certainly without knowing who the hell what is, I am very definitely in a position within my being to fight oppositions. I do not like oppositions, and my art tends to build therefore on how I would like to see, what more of I would like to see in society.
Okay, so focusing on dualities is something you try to steer away from.
Oh, no, I go right, something that I want to face, I hit it right in the middle. And so, in a sense, you're right, but in a sense not. I take on dualities to collapse them. I try to collapse them with the materials that I'm working, the techniques that I'm using. I will dissolve dualities in any way that I possibly can. One of those ways, environments, within and without, 1977-78. And so I made the box puppet literally into quasi kind of human. Now it's suddenly got legs hanging down inside of the box, and it's got legs that go from the box to the floor, because I just found old abandoned chairs and set the box on at least a couple chairs and one box on a ladder. And so I was opening up a range of dialogue. That's one thing I like to do with my work. I get into dialogue, and it's dialogue between the parts. And so in this one, I took on the complex situation of trying to work out a theme on free will and determinism. I mean, what do I think I am, a philosopher? Yeah. Well, I married a philosopher. I was with a philosopher for 18 years, so you got to learn something. And I sit and the ideas just come to me. They come into my head. And so once I had the free will determinism concept, and then I had to put legs on that, because it's a human story. I don't think it's a human construct, but I think a lot of the things that we do in our culture and society is a human construct. And I take those kinds of things on with the way, technique of working, and the kinds of materials that I work, and how I put materials with materials. So what I did is I juxtaposed. I'm not sure I like that word. I linked. I think I like linked better. Like to bring things together, negative and positive, human dramas within the boxes, so it had a strong audio component to it. In fact, it was simultaneous sound of human voices working out the dramas in negative, positive.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, daily grassroots, global, unembedded, international, independent news hour. And this is CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to CITR Radio and the Arts Report special on Canadian visual artist Isaac Hall. You can follow, if you're listening live, on the Facebook page, facebook.com/artsreport, where you can find a visual reference. And Isaac's website is EISERT-HALL.com. Let's get into the next part of this interview. And I'm very aware of, in terms of environment and the socio-political research you've done, Marshall McLuhan has been a big influence. And there's a little quote I've got here from your website: environments are not passive wrappings, but active processes which work us over completely. That's from Marshall McLuhan.
I love Marshall McLuhan. I read him, I read his book, and the medium is the message, is what he called it. It set the imagination on an incredible journey. And yes, that became a social, political statement within that. And it certainly, with the simultaneous sound, the audio, blasting through the gallery space, it was just like you'd walk up the stair and there it would be just this enormous sound of coming out. And I loved that. I thought that was really, really wonderful. And I would say, yes, it did enwrap, and I had built-in subliminal kinds of stimuli that would prompt people to, I felt that it would prompt them, like the advertising design does, and it stimulates something in, you see half images and half lights. For example, you could look inside of the boxes and you could see this yourself in cracked mirrors. Yes, the mirror was the way that I absorbed the people, gave the people heads, and gave them heads from different angles. The mirrors were inside of the boxes. I was into process at that time. Like, everything just opened up to me, the whole experience of being an artist, learning how to, you know, prepare the canvas or the wood or masonite I was going to work on, ground it, and then paint it. All of those processes were revealed for the people who would be aware of that and aware that I was working as that process in art. That process actually was a metaphor. I had metaphors within, and extended, I'm sure. We've got boxes with heads on them. The feet aren't sticking out the bottom, but obviously they're sitting on chairs, some of them. And then there was the manipulator overhead, okay. Then it's a ceiling-to-floor installation. And a whole bunch of those. Hey, we got to look at those over here pretty soon.
Given your very strong ideas about what you were doing then, were you aware of being part of any modern movement in Alberta at the time?
I wasn't overly self-conscious of it, because it was like, this is what I have to do. And that is verified by projects that I've done later. It's like, once an idea is set in my mind, I am furiously devoted to it. Very furiously devoted, and I cannot be shaken. I was aware that installation work was being done. It was basically... In Canada, there was some reference to collaging and that kind of thing. And so what I was doing is collaging, only in, more in a sculpted and three-dimensional sense. But in the United States, there was people like Judy Chicago. There were a lot of people. There was a person who crawled under a step and did various things with his private parts. And, you know, there were lots of things that I was aware of. But somehow, even though my local area, I cannot conform, because I see it being done around me. In fact, I might even go in the other direction, because, well, I think that it's genuine, because the pressure in me to understand something means that I have to go beyond myself and go beyond the community around me in order to realize that something that I need to realize. And the first ground of that knowing comes between myself and my artwork. And as I was saying, anything else get between me and that, and that's not good. So yes, I was, but no, I follow my, I would say bliss, but I also follow my misery in having to be shaken from the nice little things that are all around me that other people seem to enjoy. But that doesn't bother me, because my understanding of something, the need for that, is far greater than any other conforming need there could possibly be for me to distort myself. In fact, that is increasingly what my materials, my techniques, my way of working, my way of allowing an openness so that this can flow into my system, my body, and if it can go beyond me and help others, then I would say, absolutely, I have not lived my life in vain.
That's right. I mean, and you couldn't have done works about environment within and without being aware of the social context around you. So it seems like over the years you have achieved some semblance of balance between refusing to be drawn any particular direction because of a movement or popularity, to focus on your unique goal and yet still be able to be aware of the social context and comment on it.
The hair standing up in my head, and I say, yes, yes, I do. I follow what is truth for me and my inside self. And that's part of what environments within and without address itself to. And I've seen philosophers address that element, like Charles Taylor, our Canadian philosopher, long after I had the quest to develop that within myself. I have one regret. The community that I lived in at that time, the women sought me to speak to them about my work, and I was so shy, I could not do it. Even though I could go and perform amidst my artwork and on the local television programs, my shyness kept me away from a small group of women, and for that I have had regrets.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark. You're listening to CITR 101.9 on your FM dial.
Isaac, what can you tell us about this? Again, this is very much a socio-political type of exhibition.
I'm talking about human beings' power and culture and how it's delegated and what would seem to be some of the consequences of that. Okay, so it is an installation. It had three large paintings. Now, in this, I realized that, okay, I'd done environments, and that was fully participant-centered with people walking right amidst these humanoid box puppets. In this one, I have stills on the walls. They're just three large paintings. One was the prisoner's story. These were meant to be nailed with rough nails to the wall of the gallery, and I did have part of that installation shown in Montreal, believe it or not, at the peace conference. And so the intention of this whole art form that I used was, again, to personalize. Like, generally when we see flat things against the wall, except we generally don't see them nailed, we see them in frames. Well, I had a war on frames ever since the 70s. So it means that it's open to the environment. It's the space that we walk in. Each painting had a text. The Powers text had the literal story written to a social psychologist, and that would have been Zimbardo, Philip Zimbardo. So we have the posting by the prisoner story, by choice, say, see, hear, do nothing, the heads in boxes. I have the posting of the Stanford University experiment. This is the medium of the artist. And also the medium of the artist is the reflected image of the person looking in the mirror as they read this, with their view to the paintings on either side. Mm. And then in the last painting I had And Powers, which referred to another, more benevolent power. And in this case, it was the image of higher power. And each culture has their own higher power, but I chose the higher power of the Western world, which is the Christian, the Christ image.
Just going back to the Stanford Prison Experiment, for people unfamiliar, this was the famous experiment where they had 24 intelligent middle-class college students who were in a mock prison, and seeing how human values became suspended for a time, where people became kind of oppressive guards.
That's
but
right.
Also, you talk about how some of the good guards were kind of complicit by really not doing anything. So can you speak to that, how maybe us viewing your art piece here are meant to reflect on our own, maybe our weaknesses around that, around being complicit?
In the case of the Stanford University experiment, there were people in there really being brutal to the so-called inmates, and the inmates cowering on, you know, begging and no leniency. And so what was happening is that they were just facilitating the status quo or the oppression of that context that had happened as a result of the people being there in a so-called prison experiment and the pressures of that experiment bearing upon them. Well, there's prisons and there are prisons. And I use the prison as a metaphor to speak to us about other kinds of prisons. And I'm not declaring what they are, but, you know, you pretty much said it.
And at the time, externally, what was happening politically in the world, 1984, I guess that was around the nuclear arms race and things like that. Was there anything in the news that you were tuned into that influenced your choice of power as the subject for this piece?
Well, I mean, a child of this generation, and I was born at a time when a dictator was rampaging through Europe, and I can still remember the audio that came out of the radio at that time. I was a preschooler, very young, and I think it's like, what, that we are surrounded by, we're massaged by, it's technologies now in this late modern, but in those days it was the sound coming out of audio, out of radios, and one could hear those sounds, and they are speaking to the nervous system and setting one up for angst that even perhaps comes years after the intake of that particular stimuli, the perception of a kid, can you imagine? And we were just between a terrible Cold War. I can remember Kennedy and the standoff over Cuba. I was in Sudbury at the time, and Ronald was there. And I can remember the angst that was around that. And one didn't know all of the inner politics. We find out about that, you know, 50 years later. Well, not quite that much. Yes, I was affected, always been affected by international. Can't help. That is my community just as much as the community that I stand in. I'm here. I'm here, and I'm doing what I'm called to do. That's the way that is.
Just focusing on one of the specific pieces here in the 1984 Powers exhibition, which looks to me like a prison setup with some guards and some figures in black. Can you speak?
When I translated a real prisoner's sense of the interior of the prison, and some of those surely must not have been so great. The food is bad. If you complain about the food, you're going to be chastised, or you're going to have sanctions come down upon you. Well, isn't, you know, that happens to us everywhere, doesn't it? And so there were those pressures upon the prisoner, and he was writing to the sociologist to inform the sociologist as to what it was like. So he was a faceless nobody in there. Okay, that's speaking to the prison experience. What about the people out here? What about the people who have been denied? What about the people that have no power? What about the people that have no freedoms or limitation upon their freedoms? So in a sense, I can see environments kind of filtering through into the powers, the voice of powers, 1984. And there is a level of that coming through. And as I work through these projects through the years, I realize that, my goodness, I got another line or another level coming alive later on down the way. It's like some of it just happened automatically so that I was not really aware of what was happening. And I discover afterwards that, oh my goodness, look at this level of communication. But then I do introduce the and powers, which gives an indication that we're not... Are we, it asks the question, my work asks questions, and that's the way I start. I start with a question, and then the question unrolls. As I begin to work with the materials, the art materials, whether it's wood, in that case it was canvas and paper and mirrors, and I, as it unrolls, I begin to see a little bit more what I need to understand. So those people in black were... Black for me is not necessarily evil. It used to be in ancient time, positive as a matter of fact, and I was aware of that when I was doing this project as well. These people are people of any standing anywhere who are faceless. The no-name objects that walk around on legs. Yes, I have quite a war with subject and object relationship, and I battled with that all the way from René Descartes on down to Charles Taylor, who would never speak that way. Canadian philosopher, at least his contemporary, wasn't on the edge of the industrial. We're on the edge of another kind of industrial revolution.
I get the sense you seem to be referring to the dominant philosophies of the time keeping us all in jail.
Unfortunately, I've had to see how the brilliant men of the time have kept us in jail and at the same time kept others in jail without voices. until whatever time the voiceless prayer comes to my mind, the pedagogy of the oppressed, until we get voices and begin to fight back and stand up, we're kept. You got it. Historical. Yeah. Very good. Very good, Matt.
I hope you enjoyed that half-hour special devoted to the life and works of Canadian visual artist Izzet Hall. You can find Izzet online at www.iisert-hall.com. This has been a special for the Arts Report program on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada. My name is Matt. You can find more interviews that I've recorded at ozstrandedradio.com. That's ozstrandedradio.com. Thanks very much for tuning in. Bye for now.
Like a snake calling on a phone. I've got no time to be alone. Someone coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind.
Australia and Canada are both countries with a whole lot of space to create some of the wildest sounds on the planet. Join your host Matthew as he explores the musical heritage of his native Australia and features fresh sounds from Canada's independent music world. That's Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, live Fridays from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. And I'm stranded on my own.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Bone Rattle Music Limited, High Life Records, and People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca. Latin Summerfest is firing up the drums and dance floors on Sunday, August 18th at Trout Lake Park.
Ya está muriendo el día, casi la hora de cenar. Un grupo de aves del norte hacia el sur comienza a volar.
Vancouver's hottest family fun features Tobasco, Nova Sol, Eddie DePont, and Adonis Puentes. For details, go to latinsummerfest.com. CITR is proud to support the 20th anniversary season of the Enchanted Evenings concert series at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden. Unwind at the end of every week with an eclectic musical performance. All concerts begin at 7 p.m. every Friday from July 5th to August 30th. For more information, go to VancouverChineseGarden.com.
Come down to the PAL Street Festival this year, celebrating artistic champions. Experience traditional and contemporary Japanese-Canadian performances, including taiko drumming, sumo wrestling, martial arts, visual arts, traditional ceremonies, and so much more. Happening August 3rd and 4th at Oppenheimer Park and surrounding venues, and running from 11:30 to 7 p.m. Daytime admission is free.